Shalom, Australia. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu returned to Israel on Friday after a week in the United States, during which he met with President Donald Trump, addressed Jewish leaders at APEC, and visited an exhibition on Jerusalem at the UN. At the APEC policy conference in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday morning, Prime Minister Netanyahu extolled Israel's virtues. He also asserted his indispensability in steering Israel to ever greater economic growth, global diplomatic acceptance, and long-term security. The response to his presentation was overwhelmingly positive. In his discussions with President Trump, he discussed issues of conversion and an egalitarian prayer space at the Kotel, issues which divide Israeli and American Jewry. President Trump indicated that he would come to Jerusalem to open the new American embassy here in May. On his return home, the Prime Minister has been forced to focus on resolving the dispute that is threatening to topple his government. Ultra-Orthodox MKs announced last week that they would not support the 2019 budget bill unless the coalition pushed through a bill that would ensure yeshiva students were automatically exempted from military service. Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman vowed that his Yisrael Beiteinu party would not fold in the face of demands of their ultra-Orthodox coalition partners. Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon said that his Kulanu party would not accept anything short of unconditional support for the budget. Speaking from the U.S. on Wednesday, Netanyahu said any bill on ultra-Orthodox enlistment must be backed by the entire coalition and provide a long-term solution. A compromise bill is being developed by the ultra-Orthodox parties and by Yehudi leaders Education Minister Naftali Bennett and Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked. Last night, Netanyahu met with Tourism Minister Yariv Levin, Likud, Deputy Health Minister Yaakov Litzman of United Torah Judaism and other Haredi politicians. Opinions are split as to whether the Prime Minister feels he would benefit by going to elections early or not. Nir Hefetz, a former top aide and confidant to Prime Minister Netanyahu, told police investigators he is willing to confront Netanyahu and his wife Sarah under police observation. Hefetz is a key state's witness in three separate corruption probes involving the Netanyahus. Hefetz is the third state's witness police have acquired in the three investigations and is considered the most valuable, as he has admitted that he carried out the actual demands between the parties. Former Netanyahu Chief of Staff Ari Haro and suspended Communications Ministry Director General Shlomo Filber are also testifying in the cases. Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan on Wednesday rejected accusations voiced recently by many in his ruling Likud party that there are political motives driving the ballooning police investigations of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Another Likud member, Tourism Minister Yariv Levin, described the police recommendations as a contemptible move to stage a government coup against the will of the voter. Undercover commandos on Wednesday captured Palestinian student council head Omar al-Kiswani, a member of Hamas's student faction, for suspected involvement in terror activity. The daylight raid by border police officers dressed as Palestinian civilians on the campus of Bir Zeit University near Ramallah was caught on camera and shared widely on social media. Bir Zeit University said in a statement, the kidnappers, carrying firearms in their backpacks, entered the campus during working hours and attacked the student in front of the student council building located at the center of campus. The operatives forced and pinned down the student to the ground while firing their weapons, endangering lives. The university claimed the raid was a violation of international law. The Knesset passed a law on Wednesday allowing police to withhold the bodies of Palestinian assailants killed while carrying out terror attacks from burial. The law came after the High Court of Justice in December ruled Israel could no longer use terrorist bodies as bargaining chips without legislation explicitly permitting the practice. Last Sunday, the American and Israeli military launched the Juniper Cobra exercise, which will simulate a massive ballistic attack on the State of Israel. The biennial drill is this year's premier exercise for the U.S. European Command and one of the most important for the IDF, with 2,000 soldiers from each army taking part. Israel considers ballistic missiles, specifically precision-guided ones, to be one of the most significant threats facing the state in the form of Hezbollah's massive arsenal of short and medium-range rockets, as well as the intercontinental ballistic missiles that Iran is working to develop. Air India confirmed plans for a direct route between Tel Aviv and Delhi on Wednesday after being given permission to fly over Saudi airspace. The ability to fly the route over Saudi Arabia is expected to cut the flight time by nearly 2 hours and marks a significant achievement in Israel's campaign to upgrade its ties with the Gulf. A letter written by David Ben-Gurion, emphasizing the need to integrate women in the nascent Israeli government, was released by the IDF archives this week to mark International Women's Day. Ben-Gurion wrote to WIZO, the Women's Federation of Hadassah, and the Women's Council in March 1948, 2 months before he declared Jewish statehood, saying, "I think appointing women to the government is a great privilege and also a duty for society, and I was greatly sorry that my party did not accept my proposal to appoint a female member to the government. It seems to me a duty of honour, not only towards our mothers, sisters, wives and daughters, who bear an equal burden with us for building the community and shaping its image, but also towards our neighbours and the wider world." Ben-Gurion added that the inclusion of women in government was a banner of freedom and equality, and signed his letter by calling on men to uphold the values of gender equality. The Israeli army faced criticism yesterday after taking down an Air Force video which celebrated the branch's female soldiers on International Women's Day due to pressure from religious groups. The video, entitled "The Air Force's Answer to Chauvinism," features a voiceover from a female soldier saying, "There are those who say women can't be warriors. They just can't physically. They are not built for it. Physiologically, they should be home with their children. They say mothers can't be in operational positions. They're poor children, they're poor husbands. They say women just can't. Women can't drive. Leave it to the men." The comments are juxtaposed with action shots of female Air Force soldiers running through an obstacle course on duty as air traffic controllers, controlling drones, working as helicopter mechanics and navigators and pilots. The video ends with a shot of a female pilot. "So they say," the female pilot says as she climbs into the cockpit of an F-16 fighter jet. Also on International Women's Day on Thursday, women gathered in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem under the auspices of Women Wage Peace, demanding that Israel implement UN Security Council Resolution 1325, which requires that women be involved in all political decision-making, including peacemaking. More than 35,000 runners, including some 4,000 from 72 different countries, joined the Jerusalem Marathon on Friday morning, the largest ever number to take part in the annual race. The winner was Kipkoge Shadrach. Shadrach, the reigning champion, finished the race in 2 hours, 21 minutes and 26 seconds. The second and third slots also went to African runners from Ethiopia and Kenya, respectively. Emily Shepkenwa Samoy took her second straight win with the women. Samoy led a sweep of the top three spots by Kenyan women with a time of 2 hours, 52 minutes and 33 seconds. The guest of honour at the marathon was Olympic medalist and long-distance running world champion Haile Selassie from Ethiopia. Hong Kong sent the greatest numbers of runners from outside Israel, followed by Los Angeles, Beijing and London. However, the vast majority of runners in the full 42.2-kilometre marathon were Jerusalemites. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.